Mr. Gaston was in the station alone, eating boiled peanuts at his desk, when Brother Gerald and I came through the door. Being the sort of person he was, Mr. Gaston had shells all over the floor.
"Your colored woman ain't here," he said, looking at me. "I took her to the hospital for stitches. She took a fall and hit her head."
Took a fall, my rear end. I wanted to throw his boiled peanuts against the wall. I couldn't keep myself from shouting at him. "What do you mean she fell and hit her head?" Mr. Gaston looked over at Brother Gerald, that all-knowing look men give each other when a female acts the least bit hysterical.
"Settle down now," he said to me.
"I can't settle down till I know if she's all right," I said, my voice calmer, but still shaking a little.
"She's fine. It's only a little concussion. I expect she'll be back here later this evening. The doctor wanted her watched for a few hours."
While Brother Gerald was explaining how he couldn't sign the warrant papers, seeing as how Rosaline was nearly deaf, I started for the door. Mr. Gaston shot me a warning look.
"We got a guard on her at the hospital, and he's not letting anybody see her, so you go on back home, you understand?"
"Yes, sir, I'm going home."
"You do that," he said, "'cause if I hear you've been anywhere near that hospital, I'm calling your daddy again."
Sylvan Memorial Hospital was a low brick building with one wing for whites and one for blacks. I stepped into a deserted corridor clogged with too many smells. Carnations, old people, rubbing alcohol, bathroom deodorizer, red jello. Air conditioners poked out from the windows in the white section, but back here there was nothing but electric fans moving the hot air from one place to another. At the nurse's station, a policeman leaned on the desk. He looked like somebody just out of high school who'd flunked P.E. and hung out with the shop boys smoking at recess. He was talking to a girl in white. A nurse, I guess, but she didn't look much older than I was.
"I get off at 6 o'clock, I heard him say.
She stood there smiling, tucking a piece of hair behind her ear. At the opposite end of the hall, an empty chair sat outside one of the rooms. It had a policeman's hat underneath it. I hurried down there to find a sign on the door, "No visitors." I went right in. There were 6 beds, all empty except the farthest one over by the window. The sheets rose up, trying hard to accommodate the occupant. I plopped my bag on the floor. "Rosaline?" A gauze bandage the size of a baby's diaper was wrapped around her head, and her wrists were tied to the bed railing. When she saw me standing there, she started to cry. In all the years she'd looked after me, I'd never seen a tear across her face. Now the levee broke wide open. I patted her arm, her leg, her cheek, her hand. When her tear glands were finally exhausted, I said, "What happened to you?"
"After you left, that policeman called you, let those men come in for their apology."
"They hit you again?"
"Two of them held me by the arms while the other one hit me. The one with the flashlight, he said, 'Nigger, you say you're sorry.' When I didn't, he came at me. He hit me till the policeman said that was enough. They didn't get no apology, though.
I wanted those men to die in hell begging for ice water. But I felt mad at Rosaline, too. Why couldn't you just apologize? Then maybe Franklin Posey would let you off with just a beating. All she'd done was guarantee they'd come back."
"You've got to get out of here," I said, untying her wrists.
"I can't just leave," she said. "I'm still in jail."
"If you stay here, those men are gonna come back and kill you. I'm serious. They're gonna kill you, like those colored people in Mississippi got killed. Even T-Ray said so."
When she sat up, the hospital gown rode up her thighs. She tugged it toward her knees, but it slid right back like a piece of elastic. I found her dress in the closet and handed it to her.
"This is crazy," she said.
"Put on the dress, just do it, all right?"
She pulled it over her head and stood there with the bandage sloped over her forehead.
"That bandage has got to go," I said.
I eased it off to find 2 rows of catgut stitches. Then, signaling her to be quiet, I cracked the door to see if the policeman was back at his chair.
He was. Naturally, it was too much to hope he'd stay off flirting long enough for us to float out of here. I stood there a couple of minutes, trying to think up some kind of scheme, then opened my bag, dug into my peach money, and took out a couple of dimes. I'm gonna try and get rid of him. Get in the bed in case he looks in here. She stared at me, her eyes shrunk to mere dots. Baby Jesus, she said.